I'm Alex Keller.
And I'm Mike Harding.
This is the Filmtastic Voyage.
Now, Valentine, who is that Valentine?
Doesn't matter. What matters is chocolate.
Yeah, okay, so...
And flowers and cards.
If we're talking tasty treats, tasty Valentine's treats, what's your favorite?
Mozzarella sticks.
That's not a Valentine treat. That's
sticks are the way to anyone's heart.
That's just a regular day treat.
Well, what's a Valentine's Day treat?
Chocolate with fucking shit in it.
Yeah, but you can get that one any day if you look hard enough. Also, wait a second. Chocolate shit and it's disgusting.
The what, huh?
Like that little heart, like chocolate heart, like boxes of chocolates.
You don't like that?
That shit's rank.
You really don't like those?
No, they fucking suck because you're like, oh, it's mystery chocolate. What's in it? Oh, it's toothpaste.
I guess.
Sometimes it's like full of caramel and stuff. Usually it's like the most gross, rank fucking shit. It's like, ugh, it's like strawberry garbage.
Strawberry garbage. Well, okay.
Also, you get fucking fruit out of my chocolate. Like those cakes that are like secretly chocolate fruit cakes.
Those are a little bit weird.
They surprised me. I'm like, oh boy, cake. Oh, it's got bits of fruit in it.
Yeah, I don't know. Valentine's Day, it's always been sort of a sweet or sour holiday, you know? It's like you're either on the boat or you're not. And most of the time I'm not, so fuck Valentine's Day.
But Sour Patch Kids.
What about them?
Those are sweet and sour.
Those are good, yeah.
Or, you know, like chicken teriyaki or something with some
sweet and sour sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I mean, that's good.
That'd be pretty good, yeah.
I mean, I guess what I mean is like, okay, Valentine's Day, it's like you're either boning... Or you're not. And if you're not, you're like, man, fuck all those people boning right now, right?
I suppose if you're all bitter about it. Mike, is this something you want to tell me? Something you can get off your chest?
Hey, Alex, will you be my Valentine?
Nope.
Okay. Well, see, that's out of the way, so.
Good. Clear that sexual tension out of the air. Anyway... Let's blast off into the movie sphere, to the movie zone.
Yeah, let's get started. Hey, for anybody who doesn't know, I actually just got over a cold, so I'm feeling good. I'm ready to talk about some movies.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just always 100%.
You're always feeling good.
I'm always feeling great.
Alex Party Keller.
Never been sick. Not a once.
Yeah.
Except that one time.
It's like that movie Unbreakable. That's you.
Well, I...
Except you don't sink to the bottom of a swimming pool.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Oh.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, speaking of Unbreakable... One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't quite really work out at all, but hey, it's a good movie.
Boy, I have some thoughts on this movie.
Well, actually, that reminds me, real quick before we get to it. So, apparently, Jack Nicholson's not retired.
Really?
They announced he's going to star in some movie.
The fuck, bro?
A remake of something or something or other. I forget.
A remake of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
No, I forget the specifics. And anyone can correct me. It was news, but yeah, apparently I was like, oh shit, he's not retired, not, you know, going crazy or whatever the rumors were.
Wow.
And
well,
he's
good
gonna
for
be
him.
Acting again, yeah. And also I read a fun article today from Variety that was apparently the role was supposed to go to Bill Murray, but Bill Murray just kinda lost the script.
That sounds like a Bill Murray thing.
Yeah. I think it's Kristen Wiig or whoever. Well, like, Bill Murray, I want you to be in this movie. And Bill Murray's like, oh, that sounds really cool. And he lost the script and then he never accepted the offer and they went on to Jack Nicholson.
Wow. Okay.
Classic Bill Murray not being organized.
Hey, you know what? I'm glad they're using Jack Nicholson because I haven't seen him in a movie in forever.
Me too. I think Jack Nicholson deserves a better last movie than The Bucket List.
That was his last movie.
Mm-hmm. He wow. should have gone out. If he was going to go out, going on The Departed would have been the way to go.
Yeah.
But he didn't. That seems to be kind of a... Like, well, reminds me of a... Gene Hackman kind of thing where Hackman's like, you know, Royal Tenenbaums, like, did his whole, like, dramatic killing, and then he's like, you know, welcome to Mooseport.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I guess I'm retired. It's like, oh, wait, right whiff.
I see it as sort of like, okay, so you got all the Led Zeppelin albums, right? And I sort of see it as like their last real album was In Through the Outdoor, even though Coda was technically their last album. But Coda was a piece of shit, and it was just a bunch of B-sides that they just slapped into an album. So you hear stuff that sounds like really displaced in Coda. So it's like, fuck Coda, In Through the Outdoor is the real last album.
Was that kind of like a oh, we just don't have, we just need material for an album for money purposes?
Well, John Bonham died, I think, right in the sessions of Coda.
I see.
Or something. So, like, it was never complete, and then they, I don't know, it's something weird, because you can tell that some of the songs were them at the time, because Robert Plant was sounding older and shit, and then he would, like, skip to a song that's like, oh, this is from, like, 10 years ago,
yeah,
and there's no reason why this is on here.
This reminds me of when authors are like, it's my unfinished manuscript for this crappy book that's, like, clearly not even past the idea stages, but my family needs money, and I'm dying.
Yeah.
Like, what was that Harper Lee book that everyone hated because it was clearly not ready to be anything?
Oh.
That sequel to Kill a Mockingbird, where, like, nothing makes sense because I think her family, like, coerced her into releasing it because she was old.
Sequel? I've never even heard of that.
Well, yeah, don't bother.
Wow. Interesting. Now, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is actually hard for me to watch.
Okay.
Can you imagine why?
Because it has a Native American in it?
No, I mean that's fine.
No, I'm just kidding.
There's a character in there with the last name Harding.
Oh, yeah?
And halfway through the movie, they start calling him Hard-On, and I'm just like, okay, this is too much like middle school, but I'll make it through the movie.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's a very uncomfortable
watch.
See,
like, almost nobody in movies is named Keller, so.
Oh, yeah.
Which is odd. It's a common enough last name, I think.
It's a pretty common last name.
But no one in media is like there's like, I can name the amount of characters from media who have the last name Keller on, like, one hand. And I can't even tell you, like, what they're from. It's like, oh, that guy is my last name. Have fun.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, that's from, like, obscure stuff.
Well, let's see. I got Tanya Harding. I got Warren G. Harding.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it.
And the world famous Mike Harding.
And the world famous Mike Harding. There's a musician out there named Mike Harding.
Well, that's confusing.
And he's this, like, 60-year-old big old guy with, like, suspenders and like a goofy little mustache.
What does he play?
I don't know, but like really like soft, sort of like Randy Newman-esque kind of music.
Oh, I was hoping he'd play more like New Orleans style jazz.
No, he's like the biggest dorky looking Mike Harding ever.
Oh, he plays like that trumpet with like a good wah-wah mute. It's just like wah, 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 wah.
I want a Mike Harding convention. I want to meet this guy.
Oh, that sounds awful. I mean, no offense. But the concept of having a convention where everyone with the same name gets together is just going to be like, I hate myself.
Right. Oh, yeah. It'd be terrible. Now, have you ever typed in your name on YouTube?
No, I typed in my name on Google, and the only thing that came up was narcissist.
Wow. Okay.
No, I just typed in, like, it's usually like doctors and dentists and shit.
Oh, okay. Well, dentists tend to be narcissistic.
There are 6 Alex Kellers on IMDb, maybe 7. I forget which one I am.
Interesting. I recently had to move one Mike Harding credit on IMDb to the other Mike Harding because IMDb's like split me into two.
Yeah, I think I have to do the same, but I'm too lazy to do it. I think someone for something I worked on, someone was like, I'll just make up a new Alex Keller. It's like, oh, come on.
Right, yeah. And like you have to pay them to put your picture on there.
Oh, I'm not doing that.
I'm not going to do that, no.
I don't even have a headshot.
Me neither. Yeah, fuck that. I'll draw a little stick figure cartoon and put that on there.
I mean, I always draw cartoons of myself for anything just because it's easiest.
Right, yeah.
But, because I can always make myself look good if I'm drawing it.
Well, hey, man, you look good either way.
Except I draw a
Happy
really,
Valentine's
I draw
Day.
A really cartoon. Oh, thank you. I draw a really cartoonist, so it doesn't really matter. anyway, so that one movie that we're talking about, I think it was the second movie to win the Oscar Grand Slam. A little bit of trivia for you. Do you know what the Oscar Grand Slam is? What the big 5 Oscars are?
Well, I'm guessing it's an Oscar Grand Slam is winning those 5.
Yeah,
right?
But do you know what the big 5 awards is?
Best Picture, Best Director, mm-hmm. Best Actor, mm-hmm. Best Actress, mm-hmm. and Best... Ooh. Hold on, don't tell me. Best... oh, man. Best... Cinematography? I don't know.
Screenplay.
Screenplay. Okay, that makes sense. Wow, so that won the Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam, one of three movies to do so.
Wow. What are the other two?
The other two are It Happened One Night and The Silence of the Lambs.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
And no other movie has since won the Oscar Grand Slam that I can recall. I'm pretty sure I would have heard about it.
For some reason, I never think of Silence of the Lambs as like a Oscar award-winning movie,
but
it was.
That is an anomaly. That was a movie that came out, I think, in January of the year it came out. And then it was on VHS by the time it won the Best Picture. That was a movie that like stayed relevant for the entire year.
That never happens,
because that movie's fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Yeah.
So, good for it.
Buffalo Bill, right?
Yeah, that guy just joined something. Ted Levine's going to be in some movie I saw, and I was like, hey, Ted Levine, that's cool. Like a Marvel thing or some nerdy thing. I forget.
He was like the police chief on Monk, right?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I remember him just being in something else, and I didn't realize it was the same person because the role was just like completely different.
Yeah,
you know?
He's a good actor, that Ted Levine.
He is. Yeah. He knows how to tuck it under and dance.
He'd fuck him.
Yeah.
So One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I've only seen it once. I do own it though, but I've seen it once. It's one of those movies. It's a hard watch because a bunch of crazies. You got Danny DeVito and Christopher Lloyd and
very young Danny DeVito
and fucking Worm Tongue.
Right. What? Yeah.
Brad Garrett. I forget.
It is really cool. I mean, I think that movie, I think, is probably, like, if we're talking about their careers, Christopher Lloyd and Danny DeVito, that's probably the first time I've seen them in their careers in a movie, right? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, but weren't they on Taxi or something before that, though? Wasn't that a show?
I thought Taxi was in the 80s, right?
I don't know. I thought it was a 70s show. But don't. Hey, everyone, guess what I don't know? That.
I'm pretty sure it was the 80s.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Because Danny DeVito was already like much more established.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, so that was their big break. He got Jack Nicholson in an award-winning role. And who was the actress? Louise Fletcher, was it?
Sure,
but she won, and she was awful in that movie, like in a character.
Yeah, the nurse, right?
One of the worst, like, piece of shit human being characters in all of fiction, because she's not, like, a mustache-twirling villain, she's just a bitch.
Just a big old bitch. Do you ever see the Always Sunny episode that parodied...
With Sinbad and Rob Thomas?
Or? No, that was a good one, too. No, there was one where Danny DeVito ends up...
Oh, right, yeah, I remember that one. I forget the context, but I remember that the chief character does break out.
Right, yeah. Yeah. and they have him in there, but then they also have the Danny DeVito character from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest... Like in the episode too.
Oh, that's confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also funny.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, like there's really not much to say about that besides the fun trivia. I mean, it's Milos Forman, right? So it's a good director. It's got good performances. It's a good drama. It's just sort of, but it is what it is. And it's just...
I get the feeling like, okay, because Shining and that sort of came out around the same time,
like,
maybe?
What, The Shining? No, that was 80, and this was 76, 75?
Wow, so it was that much before, huh?
Yeah, no, maybe it was 70. Hold on, let me.
Yeah,
you think with the fucking IMDb, I would remember this shit?
Because I get the feeling that those two movies were sort of like the vetting process for him being the Joker, possibly. Even though that was like way later.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I'm sure that the Shining definitely helped. Yeah, he was a good Joker. Hey, speaking of the Joker, did you see Lego Batman?
I did see Lego Batman.
I also saw Lego Batman.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. Now, obviously, I'm not going to say too much because this movie just came out, but I thought it was the best Batman movie in the last 5 years, which is not saying much, but it was a good movie.
I thought it was the best portrayal of the Batman character in the last 5 years.
Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, it's different. It's a different thing. I thought the first act of the movie was excellent. It was just like funny and all the Batman characters and stuff. And then after that, it's a really manic movie, and it kind of like got kind of exhausted.
Now, what did you think of the big and again, without saying any spoilers, what did you think of the choice they made
like halfway through?
Halfway through.
I thought it was funny, but at the same time, I was like, oh, now it's not really a Batman movie anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of made me sad. It was like, oh, this could have been like a great, just pure Batman movie. But now it's more of a Lego movie, which is cool.
Right.
And it was pretty funny. They had a lot of funny little bits.
Yeah.
But it was, again, that part was a lot of like just fun silliness as opposed, it, like it just felt a lot more spread thin.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you. The movie got to a point where it was sort of spinning the same wheels for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The strengths I thought were all the self, it was very self-referential, and I liked that though.
That was really great.
You know, like they reference Batman history quite a bit in very clever ways, and that was all good. I thought they did a good job, like, sort of involving his rogues gallery. Mm-hmm. You know, what they did with that was cool. So, yeah, it wasn't as good as Lego Movie, but it was absolutely fun.
No, like, I think most animated movies, like, aren't as good as Lego Movie.
No.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And
now they're coming out with Ninjago.
That actually looks pretty good. I was surprised. I was like, oh, you know what? I'll see it.
I know nothing about Ninjago, but it looks like it
would be good. Compared to almost every animated film that I saw in the previews of the movie, that's the only one that I'm actually going to, like, looking forward to seeing, I should say.
Oh, okay.
Because all the other ones, I think the second best would be, like, Cars 3, and I think we talked about how Cars 3 is just like, yeah, I guess. I mean, like, oh, well.
Yeah, Cars 3. What animated movies are coming out this year that we know of? There's...
Oh, let me think. And that thing I thought, Boss Baby. Ugh.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, you didn't see that trailer? Oh, it's Alec Baldwin debasing himself. It's terrible.
What? Yeah. Wait, what?
Just look up the trailer. I don't want
to. Okay, Boss Baby.
That, Despicable Me again. You know.
Okay.
Just kind of more of the same.
Is Pixar another Smurfs movie? Oh,
Pixar's
yeah.
Pixar's got Cars, and then this movie. November Coco comes out, which is the Day of the Dead movie.
That might be cool.
It might be cool. It's a little, not worrying, but it's a little like, it's about a kid who wants to be a musician, but he can't. And it's Day of the Dead theme. Like, isn't that the exact same plot of the other Day of the Dead theme?
Oh, yeah,
movie
it
that
is.
Came out? It's like,
Yeah. And I never saw that, too.
It is a damn shame.
What?
Because it's got a really great art style, and the actual story is like a nice, solid, like, fairy tale.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, hey, you know what this needs? Stupid humor. A lot of fart jokes.
God.
And it's like, oh, come on. You're ruining a movie. It shouldn't have been a comedy. If it wasn't a comedy, it would have been excellent.
Is DreamWorks... I get very confused about what DreamWorks
well, that
is
wasn't,
up to
that
right
wasn't
now.
DreamWorks.
No. I was just going to ask, what
DreamWorks
is
doing The Boss Baby.
Oh, they're doing The Boss Baby. Okay.
Yeah. And then Captain Underpants.
I remember that.
I loved that book series as a kid, but the problem is that it's a movie that's... DreamWorks is sort of like not... When the DreamWorks isn't making like Kung Fu Pandas and How to Train Your Dragons and more serious, artsy-ish movies,
uh-huh.
their movies tend to be really lowbrow and not very good.
Well, listen, man, Captain Underpants, though.
Yeah.
You get all kinds of underpants.
Got Ed Helms is in the titular role.
Oh.
So that's something. I don't dislike Ed Helms, I guess.
No, the problem I have is like I always get kind of bummed out when all it is just taking this comedian and making him the star of this voice acting, you know, like
it's not very inspired casting.
Right, yeah. That's sort of how I feel about it. Like, okay, like bringing it back to Lego Batman, I thought Zach Galifianakis as the Joker was just okay.
He was just doing the thing.
Yeah.
I thought you could have had a better Joker.
Yeah. Did he do the laugh?
Not really.
I don't even remember.
Nah, it was more, not really. But
yeah.
They weren't really doing the Joker character as much as it was, you know, it was not like a pure version of anything. So
no.
It doesn't really matter.
No, yeah.
But I think it would have been better if they actually tried to make more of an iconic Joker performance. Or if you got Mark Hamill back. Yeah.
You know.
But that would have been too much.
Well, the problem with him is he keeps saying that he's retired.
I think he is retired now. I think after the Killing Joke, he's like, okay, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, whatever.
And nobody liked that Killing Joke.
No, it was... Well, I never saw it because I just heard about a specific part that they had added into the movie that was not in the comic. And it was like put in there... seemingly just to be more edgy and rated R, and I'm just like, I don't need to watch that.
Yeah, also I heard it's a 1-hour graphic novel stretched over 2 hours.
Yeah, that's too
and
much.
And also the art style and animation are cheap.
Oh, yeah. That's too bad.
Based on the trailer. But, you know, I'm not, like, DC's direct-to-DVD stuff, I just usually, it's a pass for me.
It, you know, I find it to be, like, hit and miss. There are some out there that are pretty good. Like, All-Star Superman, I remember that being
like,
pretty good.
Like, they're not bad. Like, there's a lot of good ones. Like, Under the Red Hood's really good. I heard, like, The Dark Knight Returns is pretty good. And, like, there's a couple of Green Lantern ones and stuff. But it's mostly just, like, I don't have the time.
Well, and then also, if it's a straight adaptation of the comic, it's
that's
like,
also true.
I already read the comic. I don't really need to see this.
Like, it's nice to hear Peter Weller be Batman, but...
Peter Weller is Batman.
In The Dark Knight Returns.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Okay.
But it's like, you know, I'll just read the comic again. Also, because I really like Frank Miller's art before he went crazy.
Hey, I agree. And I also had a really cool thought just now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can't get Hugo Weaving back to be the Red Skull, you know who'd be a great Red Skull? Peter Weller.
Oh, yeah. He'd be a great
anything. He's got that skull face.
He does have a skull face. He's got a Grand Moff Tarkin face.
He's got a Grand Moff Tarkin face, that guy.
He wasn't, you know, he's down to play villains in like, you know, big Star budget
Trek.
Star Trek type stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be awesome. Or he could just be any other villain. Basically, well, if you had to, you're a Marvel guy. If you had to be any villain besides Red Skull, who would you cast him as? It's like a new rogue that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, God. That's a tough question.
And preferably Marvel, not X-Men.
Hey, excuse me, sir.
No, because X-Men
is different
property.
Marvel.
No, X-Men is a different movie property.
No,
right now.
Stop it. No, I know. See, that sucks because I was about to say, like, Mr. Sinister, but I guess not.
Well, mostly because I just want to see him palling around RDJ.
Yeah. I mean, like, he would have been a cool, like, a vulture. Like, see, the problem is he's older, right? So you have to play to an older villain, and there's not very many older villains unless you just slap a bunch of makeup on them, right?
Well, you guys make a villain older. It's like, you know, some villain doesn't need to be strapping utes.
Yeah. Man, I'm drawing a blank. I don't know.
Galactus. Well, I mean, you should put him in some mocap suit. He plays Galactus.
Peter Weller is Galactus.
His voice has enough gravel in it anyways.
Okay, Peter Weller, just make a noise like you're eating a planet now. Trees.
No, he probably wouldn't do that. He'd probably be like, you get out of my face.
Yeah, I'll do whatever the fuck I want. I'm Galactus. That's what Peter Weller would say.
I bet a Galactus would probably be Stan Lee, because it's like, hey, I'm Galactus.
Oh, wouldn't that be a great way to,
that
like...
That would be great, but
Yeah.
Stan Lee's getting old, though.
He is. I mean, the next couple of years, get ready for it.
He's lived a great life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's in his 90s. He's like a fucking god.
Yeah, when he inevitably, unfortunately, passes, it's one of those things where it's like, it's his death will not be an occasion to mourn, but more of an occasion to be like, he did it.
Oh, yeah.
You won.
Stan Lee spent probably the last 60 years of his life just walking down the street, just getting whatever he wants.
Yeah.
That's a very PG version of what I wanted to say.
Stealing Jack Kirby's ideas.
Yeah.
But basically, like him, like when Christopher Lee died, it was like, you know what, Christopher Lee, you won life, and good for you.
Yeah. There's no reason to be sad for someone's death if they're well into their 90s and they've had, like, a really fucking cool life.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you can miss them, but.
Speaking of life, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I'm like, I really don't think there's that much to add to the movie.
I guess not.
It's more like, if you haven't seen, everyone check it out. It's a sentimental piece of, it's a seminal piece of film history. Milos Forman, the only movie I can think of he did that also won an Oscar was Amadeus, and that was really great, too.
Oh, yeah. Now, top three Jack Nicholson roles. I'd easily say Shining at number one.
Oh, jeez, I don't know.
I'd probably say One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest at number two or three. It would have to be a tie between that and, like, probably, I don't know. Departed?
I think The Departed is up there for me. That's a powerhouse role. Yeah. I haven't seen him in...
What about Schmidt?
Like, yeah, I haven't seen About Schmidt.
I haven't seen About Schmidt either.
Like a Jack Nicholson.
A Few Good Men or whatever?
Like, he was like all over the 70s mostly.
Yeah.
Oh, A Few Good Men, that's good.
Chinatown?
Chinatown. That's, I put that there. Yeah, Chinatown.
Chinatown, yeah. Although I can't remember any like really compelling acting moments in that movie,
like, you know,
other than him punching that lady in the face over and over or whatever the fuck that was.
Oh yeah.
That made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, I'm just like, well, there's also like Five Easy Pieces. As Good as It Gets.
Oh yeah, As Good as It Gets.
Which I haven't seen.
That was good. As It Gets.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Very clever. We are nothing if not clever here at the Filmtastic Voyage. I'm missing some huge movies. Howl.
How?
That werewolf movie. Is that the one I'm thinking of? He was in some stupid werewolf movie.
Whatever that was, I remember some stupid werewolf movie, yeah. He's been in quite a bit. I can't remember everything. I can just remember his hits.
Mm-hmm.
There's About Schmidt.
Is that a hit? The Bucket List?
The Bucket List. Everybody rags on The Bucket List. Hey, The Bucket List was a fine movie.
Is that Rob Reiner's last movie also? I don't think he's directed
anything
since. I mean, he was in The Wolf of Wall Street, and he was excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, you know what? I don't know if he was excellent in The Wolf of Wall Street.
What? What's wrong? What?
Because, okay, here's my thing with him.
Uh-huh.
They introduced him as being, like, this person with, like, a hair-trigger temper and would just, like, cuss everybody out and shit. He was actually a really, like, sentimental dude in that movie.
I don't think he was supposed to be, like, a hair-trigger temper. I think he was just one of those kind of people that, like, hides his anger really well.
Okay, all I'm saying is, like, he was, like, the voice of reason in quite a bit of that movie.
Well, he was his dad, so he had to be. I don't know. Anyways, Rob Reiner's got such an interesting career, because, like, between 1982 and 1994, he was just hit. Like, not just, classic fucking movies. And then he did North, and it was just, like, he turned to dust and disappeared.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, dust to dust, right?
I mean, like, he made a lot of movies, but nothing was really good after that.
I think, I don't know what happened. I mean, I don't know enough about him
maybe
to know what happened to him.
Roger Ebert maybe hurt his feelings so bad that he just lost his stuff.
They were like good buddies before that, and then after that.
Well, Roger Ebert famously, scathingly panned North.
Wow.
Like, gave it like 0 stars, and then.
Zero stars.
Roger Ebert famously, like, the quotes, like, I hated this movie. I hated it. Like, you can look up the review. It's pretty scathing.
That's on my list of movies to see because I just want to see the phenomenon that ended Rob Reiner's career.
I didn't end his career. It just sort of ended his spot, his limelight.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it just, you know, it took the air out of his lungs there, you know?
I think it might be he's just a director that was just sort of like.
Took the bread out of his mouth.
No, I think he's just like his directing style might be just be like so 80s and like early 90s. Like that's like his style of directing. And like after that, it's when like not Tarantino and they're kind of your flashy air directing styles. Maybe that kind of.
Right. Yeah.
Couldn't keep up. I don't know. That's a theory.
It's interesting. You know, there tends to be a lot of there is like a 90s sensibility of directing. That sort of really died, like, right after the 90s.
What would you call, like, the quintessential 90s style of movie?
like Good Will Hunting or so, you know, okay, where it's just, like, this inspirational, you got, like, the music score that's, like, really, like, happy, grandiose shit, you know what I mean? Like, it there was this warm feeling, like, and I think Rob Reiner sort of had
Well, Gus Van Sant's still working, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he made Milk.
Milk was one of his better movies.
That was pretty good.
Never see Last Days.
I won't.
Never,
you've told me that, and I won't.
Never watch Last Days, because that movie will make you hate Gus Van Sant.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know much about Kurt Cobain, though.
It doesn't matter if you do or you don't. It's the kind of movie that is very hard to love.
Okay.
It's a... Oh, man. Okay, so yeah, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I think, like, I don't have much else to say about that. I mean, it was a good movie. You know, definitely a must-see, I think. Mm-hmm. A must-see classic.
Yeah, must-see classic. Check it out if you haven't seen it. And that's really it. Like, it's a, you know, Oscar Grand Slam movie. It's an excellent film. And it deserves everything it won.
Yeah. Listen, go to Denny's, get yourself an All-American Slam, and then watch a slamming movie, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Or don't go to Denny's and go somewhere good. You know, whatever you want. Anyways, let's jump ship.
Sure.
I don't know. You know, new movie. So, this week, another hard to watch movie, Pan's Labyrinth.
Well, it's hard to watch, but in a good way.
Yes, in a good way. I don't know if I'd watch it again soon, though.
No, I. That's the kind of movie where it's like, oh man, you know, that's Guillermo del Toro's best movie.
Oh, hands down, his best movie.
I've only seen it once because, man, what a fucking depressing movie that is.
It's pretty depressing, and people get their face bashed in, and then that lots there's a lot of blood.
Yeah, it's
There's that weird mandrake thing.
The what now?
It's like that mandrake root that that Spanish guy burns in that fireplace.
Oh yeah,
because and it nah.
Now
and
what are
the creepy guy with the highball hands?
Right, yeah.
And there's that frog.
That whole sequence with the eyeball hands guy was like the best part of that
the
movie.
Thin man, I think they call him, like this, something like that.
And all she had to do was not take any food off the fucking table, but
stupid little girl.
Man,
they got that fairy died for nothing.
Yeah. Holy shit. I really love the giant guy.
What the fawn?
The first creature. Yeah, the first creature that she meets.
Pan.
Is that Pan?
Well, it's not. I don't know. Well, in Spanish, it's the Labyrinth of the Fawn is what the movie's called. They just call it Pan's Labyrinth in America for some reason. So technically, you could say it's Pan, but he's just the Fawn.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, played by the great Doug Jones.
Doug Jones is amazing.
He's the best.
For anybody who doesn't know who Doug Jones is, he plays a lot of creatures in a lot of movies.
He's like he's a mime and he's a very thin man, and so he's a creature guy. He's always creatures. He's Abe Sapien.
Yeah.
He was in the Bye Bye Man as the titular role recently.
Right. Yeah.
He's gonna be in that new Star Trek show, maybe as a Gleep Gloppin' alien.
Hopefully. I heard Bye Bye Man wasn't that great.
Oh, I've heard a lot. Yeah, I heard.
But I heard he was great.
It's a January horror movie, so what do you expect?
Right, yeah. Interesting thing about Abe Sapien, his role as Abe Sapien, is the first movie, they had...
David Hyde Pierce?
David Hyde Pierce as the voice.
Mm.
But then Doug Jones just miming it. And,
well, he acted himself and David Hyde Pierce just, you know, ADR'd over it.
Right, yeah. And then when they came around for the second movie, David Hyde Pierce is like, no, I'm not doing the voice. You're going to have Doug Jones do the voice.
Well, he also didn't take credit in the first movie, too. He's like, just give all the credit to Doug Jones. In the second one, he's like, Doug Jones, you do it yourself.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, Doug Jones is great, but that David Hyde Pierce voice was missing. From the second
honestly
movie.
They sound the same to me.
Oh well, I'm glad you feel that way.
I've watched them both back to back before, and it's I can't really tell.
It really bummed me out that David Hyde Pierce's
I think
voice
you were just fixated on it because you're a David Hyde Pierce head.
Well, I mean, he's got that, you know, he's a really good voice actor. There's very few screen actors that are good voice actors, and I think David Hyde Pierce is
I think there are a
exception.
Lot of screen actors that are really good voice actors, but that's just me.
Yeah,
like Will Arnett from Lego Batman.
Yes.
Oh, BoJack Horseman, or one of his many other roles.
That's true. But that still is like 1%. That's like 0.1% of the
acting
community.
I could name lots like Albert Brooks is a good voice actor, and I'm just trying to think of role animated films.
They're out there. I mean, definitely. But what I mean is like the majority of voice actors, or the majority of, I would say the vast majority of screen actors don't necessarily make good voice actors.
That's true.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of screen actors, so.
There are. How many would you say there are?
Too many.
600? 700?
At least.
1,000?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't want to guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. You could probably go to the Screen Actors Guild and look up all the people.
Well, there has to be sort of a cutoff, right? Like.
I don't think so. I think as long as you're in movies, you're an actor.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if someone's only been
in,
like.
If you have a SAG card, you're an actor.
That's true. Yeah.
Like a professional actor. I mean, like you act in stuff, but that SAG card means you're a professional actor.
So then we base it on... Okay, that's a good way to base... That's a good thing to base it off of is the SAG cards.
Yeah.
Because if someone's like in two commercials, then they never do anything for the rest of their lives, then I don't know if that...
Well, I mean, if they're in the guild for that, then they technically are, but you know.
Yeah.
But then it's also like current active members. That's a hard thing. I don't know, you know, I'm not a screen actor, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Any screen actors out there? Let us know. How many actors are there?
Yeah, hey, why don't you chime in, screen actors?
Do you know them all? You must. It is, you know, it's Hollywood. Everyone knows everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Living big, you know? What would you say is your... Okay, what would you say is the best and worst of Guillermo del Toro?
Well, best is Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay.
I don't know if I've seen anything. I think I've only seen a couple of his movies. Like, I haven't seen his more panned movies. I've only seen all of his good ones.
That's true. Me too. What was the one with Tom Hiddleston? And there's like ghosts.
I guess,
I guess
that would be his worst. Crimson Peak.
You saw that?
I did.
It was bad?
No, it's not bad.
Oh, okay.
It's just not as good as either Hellboy or Pacific Rim or Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay. And then like The Orphanage. I remember I've seen The Orphanage.
That wasn't his, that he produced that.
Oh, he produced that. Okay.
The only other movies he did Mimic. He did The Devil's Backbone, Kronos.
Never
Blade,
saw any
Blade
of those.
Blade 2. Haven't seen any of them.
Seen Blade 2.
I haven't seen. I have to, like. I would want. I have to see Blade first. And Blade. Like Blade 2 is streaming everywhere, but Blade 1 is not. And it's like I can't just go to Blade 2.
Blade 2 is, I would argue, the best of those movies.
Well, I think that's the common perception. But yeah. I want to see all the Blades, goddammit. You know how I can't see sequels. I have to see the first one first.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, that there's a huge piece missing if you haven't seen the first one.
That's why I have to watch all the Fast and Furious movies, because like they look stupid fun, and it's like I want to watch them, but I haven't seen fucking any of them since the first two.
I'll be honest with you, and I know that you'll want to see them all anyways, but me only having seen 1, 3, and 7, I can tell you, you really don't need to see any of those.
I know, like, you don't, but it's more of a it's like going to a museum and seeing like the timeline, how things change.
Yeah.
How early 2000s, well, 2001, 2001 sort of this is cool in 2001 versus this is cool in 2015 kind of stuff.
It's really crazy how that franchise has lasted this whole time. Like, you know, I mean...
It's pretty brilliant, really. It's like, yeah. You know these cars movies? Let's make them heist movies. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, it's like, you know, you have all these companies that can't even keep together a franchise that should have 8 movies now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, things fall apart so easily, but somehow this random franchise of, like, car racing and then car heists with Vin Diesel has just, like, stood, like, lasted the test of time, you know?
Yeah, it's
that's crazy.
It is crazy. And those movies kind of made The Rock, too, didn't they?
Sort of.
Like, The Rock was, like, brought in like, the fourth one. It's just sort of like, and The Rock. You
fifth
know?
One.
I thought wasn't he, like, the antagonist of the fourth one, though?
Good question. I haven't seen 4 or 5.
Someone can answer that. Yeah. But I'll
well, because he was, before those Fast and Furious movies, he was not getting good roles. He was in, like...
The Passive was Vin Diesel, but, like, basically those kind of movies. Like, that movie is, like,
the
I'm
Tooth
in...
The Tooth Fairy,
just,
right?
Like, the Tooth Fairy, that's the one.
And, like... Going to Witch Mountain or whatever,
yeah,
the fuck
going to
that
Witch
is.
Mountain, basically like Disney crap.
He was
Faster. Remember that movie?
No.
Or it's like, or I think that's what it's called. It's like generic action movie, Walking Hard.
Oh, Walking Hard.
The remake.
No. Walking Tall.
Walking Tall. Walking Hard is
Walking
the,
Hard would be is the porn version.
No, Walk Hard. Walk Hard is the Johnny Cash spoof with John C. Reilly.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good one. You saw that, right?
No, I have not seen that.
Oh, darn.
Not all. I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Tim Meadows is in that, and Tim Meadows is great in that movie.
That was when I was working at a theater, so I saw like 15-minute chunks isolated. So I've seen like probably like 40% of that movie.
Oh, okay. Of Walk Hard?
Yeah.
So you've seen the parts where he goes in and like Tim Meadows is doing drugs, and like he's like, what are you doing? And Tim Meadows is like, get out of here, Dewey. You don't want any part of this shit. And it's like, well, what is it? It's cocaine. Well, what does it do? I don't know. I can't retell it.
I also saw the Beatles part. That part was
oh yeah, the Beatles really part was amazing. Yeah, who made that? Was it Judd Apatow?
I think it was one of the people. It was someone behind the Anchorman stuff.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if it was anyone directly involved. You'd have to. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Because that was good, and then it came and went, and then no one talked about it anymore.
That was back in the heyday of the PG-13 comedy.
Yeah.
Now it's all R-rated. No, is R-rated comedy dead? Is it back to PG-13?
I don't even... Man, I can't keep up even.
I find it annoying when people are like, man, back in my day, there were some great R-rated comedies. It's like, just wait. It'll happen again.
Oh, yeah. It goes
like,
in
the 80s, like, oh, R-rated comedies. And then they got, like, you know, the 90s was all PG-13 comedies or whatever. And it's like, it just takes one, and then it brings them all back.
Right.
It takes a hangover, and then you have a slew of terrible comedies. Until, you know, you have like an Anchorman or something, and then you have a slew of terrible PG-13 comedies.
The director of the first Hangover, did he direct all three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Todd Phillips.
Is he doing anything?
He did, the last movie he did was that movie with Jonah Hill and Miles Teller where they're gun runners.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've heard isn't terrible, but isn't great.
Right, yeah.
War Dogs, that's it.
War Dogs, yeah. I was a little bit curious in seeing that, but not curious enough.
That was a movie I would have seen if the reviews were, like, excellent, but they weren't, so I'm like, pass.
Yeah, seemed like a sleeper. That was like a September movie or
that
something.
That was like
right?
a late. It was an August movie. I think it was like a. It was a Dog Days of Summer movie. War Dog Days of Summer. You get it. You get it, everyone.
I get it.
Good.
Man, what were we even talking?
What the fuck movie? Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth. Okay. Yeah. I mean. Now, okay, with Guillermo del Toro, it's very. He has a very odd career. In the sense that you can't really group, he doesn't have like phases or anything. He just sort of hops from like one idea to another, and the ideas can be like completely different.
Yeah, he's got a style, which is one thing.
Right.
The thing about Guillermo del Toro, which I like and don't like, is that every time he's got like, oh, I'm making a new movie, it's like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm super excited. But there's no guarantee he'll be good at all.
Right.
Like, it'll be visually interesting at the very least. He'll have great production values.
Yeah.
And great design. But like, there's no guarantee he'll be good. And then also, he's like, I want to make a movie. I'm like, are you, though?
Right, yeah.
Because, like, you know, 3 years down the line, nothing happens. And then it's like, oh, actually, I kind of dropped that project. I said I was going to do it and then forgot about it.
Like The Hobbit?
Well, The Hobbit was not his fault.
Yeah. That would have been
nice,
though.
He was on that as long as he could have been. But then, you know, MGM had to run out of money. And then right. He had to be like, ah, listen, guys, I can't just sit in my hands and wait for this. I have to go make my own stuff.
That would have been a cool interpretation of The Hobbit, as if he did.
It would have probably been better, but I also don't blame Peter Jackson on
no,
what we got.
No, not at all.
The Hobbit movies were just a bunch of the Lord of the Rings movies were art as movies as art and passion. Like, we're gonna make these and they're gonna be great. And the Hobbit movies were like doing the same thing, but also at the same time this sort of like this like mist of we need you, Peter Jackson, you gotta make us some money.
Yeah.
Like, hung
pay
over
the
entire production, which made it really unfortunately like strained.
You know what MGM should do is just make a movie off that lion. You know, give that lion his own movie.
Nah.
Where he's just
I don't want to see no logo movies.
Come on. It starts with the logo, and then like the logo just pans out, and it's like, dun, 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 lion. And then like it's just a whole lion adventure.
Nah, I'd rather not. The only logo movie I want to see is Captain Crunch, but it's basically a shot for shot remake of Master and Commander.
Listen. That's a lot less horrifying than what I immediately thought of when it came to Captain Crunch. Because the whole campaign for Captain Crunch for a while was, hey kids, your parents are lame. Come on my ship and I'll crunchitize you.
Oh, I don't remember cereal commercials that well. Oh,
okay.
I remember like Cookie Crisp had like four different mascots before they finally figured it the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
Now, as a kid, I was like, wait, wasn't it a bunch of burglars before? Now it's a dog? What the fuck's going
on? That's the problem is that it was
how
burglars.
How am I supposed to eat cereal where I don't know what I'm being sold?
The thing with Cookie Crisp is I think, you know, I probably know exactly what happened. It was probably they had the burglars and then a bunch of parents complained and then they like took away the human burglar and now it's just the dog burglar. And then parents complained again and then they made it just like a fucking whatever it is now, a fox or something.
I think it's probably they had a couple of human burglars and Cookie Crisp wasn't selling, so they turned to a dog burglar, and Cookie Crisp wasn't selling. And the answer is, Cookie Crisp sucks.
Cookie Crisp isn't that bad.
It's not great.
For a kid, it's like the novelty of just having the idea of having cookies in your cereal, I think, is enough to...
Yeah, but there are so many better tasting sugary cereals. You got Golden Grahams, fucking Lucky Charms.
Those two, I don't know if I'd use those two.
Even like Frosted Flakes.
Dude, Cocoa Pebbles and Cocoa Krispies, that's my bag.
Because
it turns your...
Oh, Cocoa Krispies. Cocoa Krispies are the shit. That's the best.
Because it turns your milk chocolate.
Yeah, it turns your milk chocolate, and Cocoa Krispies are amazing. I eat Rice Krispies usually, so Cocoa Krispies is like what I usually eat, but better.
Yeah, now, listen, on a bad day, you know what I do? I'll take chocolate milk... And pour it into Cocoa Krispies.
That's a bad day.
And holy shit, afterwards, that milk is delicious.
It's a flavor explosion, but dude, you have to be pretty down in the dumps.
That's like a double chocolate milk, like a double chocolate milk drink.
It's like 50 cc's of chocolate drink.
It is, dude.
Right into your soul.
Yeah. Speaking of double the chocolate, Pan's Labyrinth. What was the worst? Okay, what was worse in that movie? The part where he bashes that dude's head in with a bottle, or the ending part where the main character dies?
Or does she?
Well, no, I heard that she doesn't. I heard officially Guillermo del Toro say, oh, no, no, she actually did go
you
to
remember
that cool
my thing
place.
I said a couple weeks ago about Inception, how figure it the fuck out. You don't, like, it's not,
right.
It's up to you how you want to interpret it.
Right.
I think she's probably a magical fairy queen.
Well, that is the official.
Oh, I don't want to hear I don't want to hear what the author has to say.
No, I know.
If you make an ambiguous ending.
Just for the record, though.
Yeah.
That is what Guillermo del Toro said.
Well, and
said.
I think Christopher Nolan, for the record, said that he's not dreaming or stuff. I don't care.
No, Nolan said it doesn't matter. Nolan's well, like, it doesn't matter if it's real or not or any of that.
Good, okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing something about that and then I forgot because I was like, eh, who cares?
Right. Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. What's worse? Well, I don't know. The worst thing to me is when the mother character miscarries or whatever. Because it's
oh,
like,
God.
So much blood.
Yeah. Oof. That was a dark movie. Holy shit.
Yeah. It's the classic juxtaposition of the fantasy world is actually a lot funner and lighter than the fucking horrifying Spanish Civil War.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that sort of follows... Now, okay. If you had to pick between watching two movies... The Labyrinth or Pan's Labyrinth?
Pan's Labyrinth.
You'd watch Pan's Labyrinth over you watch The Labyrinth?
It's a thing, because Pan's Labyrinth is twice the movie that Labyrinth is, in my opinion. But Labyrinth is such a fun, light time, comparatively. I guess I'd watch Labyrinth, but I'd rather own Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One's like a flick and the other one's a film. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently learned that Labyrinth was a pioneer in CG and had a big CG owl on it.
It did.
I mean, like, I noticed that at the time, but I was looking at, like, a history of CG kind of real recently, just for fun. And, like, oh, it's like, it was one of the milestones. Like, fake owl. It's like, oh, yeah.
Because that movie came out in 1986.
Yeah.
Which is really early for CG.
Yeah. It had Jennifer Connelly in it.
Yeah.
Who was not CG.
No, and apparently not really. What does she do now? I don't even know.
She's going to be in something big. They just announced it.
The Day the Earth Stood Still?
No. She's been in movies. She was in, like, American Pastoral. I think that was that Ewan McGregor movie that he directed.
Oh.
That no one saw. I saw trailers for it, and then nothing happened. So it must not be that good. Or maybe it was just super indie.
Wow.
No, she's cast in something. No, yeah, she just got... So apparently, Jennifer Connelly, she was cast in Battle Angel Alita, which is that James Cameron produced Robert Rodriguez movie that's coming out.
Oh. Interesting.
James Cameron was going to make that for a long time, and then he kind of got sucked into the Avatarverse.
Right.
And, yeah, so now Robert Rodriguez is doing it, which Robert Rodriguez...
He's capable of making good movies. He's made some good movies, and he's made some real stinkers.
He's made some really great movies. Sin City for a long time was one of my favorite movies of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a perfectly fine movie.
It's a top five comic book movie still to this day, I think.
You know, I can't say that for myself, but it was a movie that I enjoyed.
Sin City 2, on the other hand, sucks.
Was that also him?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But that's less his fault. It was more that the stories weren't very good in it. Well, there was like two... Most of the stories were, but like the main story was really bad, and that drags the whole thing down. If one of your vignettes suck, then the whole movie kind of falls apart.
Well, and then also coming back to a franchise like, what was it, 8 years later? Or
also,
like
it was
9 years
too little,
later?
Too late.
Yeah, I don't know. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes. That might be cool.
Spy Kids.
Yeah.
Spy Kids 4D. Yeah. That was a good Robert Rodriguez movie.
He's got some good ones, he's got some bad ones. And then I will, you know, James Cameron's James Cameron.
Sure.
He's made
he's untouchable.
He's made some great films and he will probably continue to. Everyone says, "Oh, it's too late for Avatar." It's like Avatar 2 will be fine.
The impression I get is, okay, he has like three more Avatar movies lined up. The impression
four.
I get, four now? Oh, shit. The impression I get is once he starts filming those, he's just going to keep going until he finishes them.
Yeah, well...
And then they're going to come out every 1 or 2 years.
The screenplays for all four have finally finished. Now he's going to start filming soon.
Right.
And Sam Worthington's like, oh, boy.
Yeah. We're in the money. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. I don't know. I thought Avatar, I still think Avatar is a good movie, a great movie even.
I'll say it's a good movie.
I think everyone's problems with it are that thing I hate where they distill complicated criticism into stupid bite-sized, like, oh, it's just Dances with Wolves.
I mean, I know you and I sort of disagree on it. It's a movie I never need to see again.
I was actually thinking recently, it's like, you know, I should watch Avatar again. It's been a long time.
I agree with you. Like, it's not the only movie that follows that archetype, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it speaks to, like, you know, when people hate movies, they'll find anything they can. When someone dislikes a movie, they'll find anything they can to pick it apart, mm-hmm. right? But it's probably them not realizing what their actual problem with the movie is.
Yeah, well.
And I think Avatar sort of falls into that, where it's like people are like, you know, the reason I didn't like it is because I've seen that story way too many times, but there are good movies with that story, so it has to be something else. But
Avatar
don't like.
Is a good movie, though. I think that the right. problem is that it's, I don't know, this, like, we're not talking about Avatar, let's not go into it.
No, because I'll be honest, dude, I recognize that it's a good movie, but I'm not a huge fan of it.
Well, either way, the point I just want to make real quick is that people say it's a bad screenplay. It's like, that is not a bad screenplay. I think people who say it's not a bad,
no,
a bad
I don't
screenplay,
think it's screenplay
don't understand what screenplay is.
See,
because it's not just strength of characters and stuff. The characters aren't great. That's probably the problem everyone has with the movies. The characters aren't very great, but a good screenplay is, does it have dialogue that is on point, that carries the story for the story forward? Do we know who everyone is and what they want to do and who they are and where they're going at this particular point? And Avatar does that and all those things. It's a efficient, fluid screenplay, and that's why it works so well.
Yeah, I agree with you. But ultimately, the movie's being put out for people that don't know what a good screenplay is, right?
Well,
So my counter argument for that would be, you're giving this product to people that don't understand how to make a movie.
No, but they understand basic storytelling, and that's why it made $2.7 billion.
Well, yeah, okay, it did make a lot of money, and a lot of people liked it, yeah. Mm. But for the people that didn't like it, I can't, like, for me personally, I can't hold them to a standard of not knowing what a screenplay is, because I feel like, no, as an audience member, that's not their job.
No, but I'm just saying, the idea of just saying, oh, it's a terrible screenplay, I'm like, calm down. Let's not throw words like terrible around. That's all I'm saying.
Uh-huh. No, I don't think the screenplay was bad. I have my own issues with it, but it would take a long time to go into it.
Well, one day when Avatar, you know, comes up, then we'll get into it. And the last thing I want to say, though, also, people are like, oh, Avatar 2, it's going to suck. It's going to suck, but it's like too little, too late. It's like, don't doubt James Cameron. The last people, like, Titanic's going to be a big failure. The opposite. Oh, Avatar's going to be a big failure. The opposite. Like, don't worry about it.
Well, and if anything, if very recent movie history has shown anything, people will go out and see a movie even if they hated the one before it. Like, you know, we keep coming back to DC, but DC's a perfect example of, like, man, I fucking hated Batman v Superman. But you know what? Suicide Squad's going to be good.
Well, even the Transformers movies, it's like, well, like, the last three have been terrible, but maybe this new one will be
right.
Will be kind of fun.
And it is even that thing where it's like, people will be like, you know, there's no way I'm going to see it. And then the trailer comes out and they're like, man, that trailer is fucking cool.
No,
and
usually
then they'll
it's
go
like,
see it,
well,
right?
Like, for Transformers, like, well, that looks pretty stupid. But maybe it'll be like the fun kind of stupid. Like, I'm trying to give movies the benefit of the doubt. I had a point.
Transformers is like Fool Me Five Times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's at for me.
Oh, God, that fourth one was the worst movie I've ever seen.
I wouldn't even dream of watching it. I'm sorry.
I remember being, like, exhausted and looking at, like, I clicked, like, the to-go mark, and I was halfway through the movie. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I was, like, an hour and 40 minutes in. I was, like, not an hour and 40 minutes. But, like, yeah, I was an hour 20 in, and it was halfway through the movie.
The only thing that will get me to see a Transformers movie at this point is if it's a Beast Wars movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing.
Fuck yeah.
That's the only thing that will get me to see a Transformers movie. Because the story for that show and the premise was really fucking cool.
It was solid. It's a solid-ass show.
Yeah.
It was that Canadian company, I think it was Mainframe at the time,
mm-hmm.
they made some pretty solid shit.
Reboot?
Maybe Reboot.
Beast Wars,
yeah.
Some other stuff that I don't know?
Ratchet and Clank the movie, which I
tried
to watch.
Yeah.
I got a couple minutes into it. I'm like, you know, this isn't for me.
I've never even played Ratchet and Clank, so it's like...
I dabbled in the games. I didn't own a PlayStation, but I played, you know, probably cumulative several hours at people's houses.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that movie didn't look good, though.
No, it was like, well, maybe it's the fun kind of dumb. It's like, I'll probably end up finishing it out, the whole thing. It's just like, I have to be sort of like in the right frame of mind for it. It's like, I gotta watch something terrible. Like a really dumb animated movie right now. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you just feel like that. It's like, I feel like punishing myself.
Yeah, you know, or if you're like preoccupied, you know, you just like turn on the TV, have it in the background.
Yeah, like you get some Cocoa Krispies and some chocolate milk, and you just pour yourself a bowl and you watch Ratchet and Clank.
That's right. Yeah. Oh man. Hey everybody, if you're having a bad day, seriously, that's what you do.
That actually sounds pretty great. Would that be your perfect Valentine's Day treat?
Well, no.
If you woke up and there was like an ice cold bottle of chocolate milk and a freshly unopened box of Cocoa Krispies with a nice little bow on top, and
that'd be great.
To my Valentine, you wouldn't swoon over that?
No, that would be great. Yeah, if we're talking food items, if we're talking the ideal treat for Valentine's Day, but in the form of food items, then yes, chocolate milk with cocoa. I'm going Cocoa Pebbles, man, because fuck yeah, Flintstones.
Nah,
Cocoa Pebbles. Chocolate milk, you get to enjoy the Flintstones, eat your shit, and there you go.
Yabba dabba doo. But I think we can both agree. I don't really care for Cocoa Pebbles, but I think we can both agree. Better than Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, yeah. Fuck Cocoa Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs, bunch of garbage. You know what's also garbage? Trix.
Trix?
Trix used to be fucking amazing, and then they changed the shapes from fruit shapes to little puff balls, and they taste like shit now.
Oh, they did do that. Oh, I forgot all... No, it was good when it was the fruit shapes.
Yeah, it was good with fruit shapes. Have we talked about this in the podcast before? I feel like we have.
We did, yeah.
Whatever. Maybe. That's not important. Breakfast cereal is awesome.
Oh, yeah. If you grew up in the 90s, you're going to love breakfast.
Well, you know,
I love cereal for the rest of your life. I know people,
people in my family, my immediate family, who hate cereal, and they grew up in the 90s.
Yeah. So there you go.
So
love it or hate it.
A bunch of millennials. Wait, cereal or something.
Cereal, yeah.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Pan's Labyrinth or something?
Pan's Labyrinth. I really don't have much else to say about it. That's another movie where it's like, it's a perfectly fine movie. It's really depressing. There's a lot of good creatures. And that's about it. I mean, that, you know, what was that, 2007?
Six. That was a big movie. That was a big, movie that was like, it was a foreign film that was huge at the Oscars. I remember that because it's very rare for a foreign film to be nominated for best foreign film and best feature,
right? Yeah.
And that was both. Yeah, they're nominated for both it did,
and rightfully so.
Yeah.
And then he made Hellboy 2 after that.
Yeah, interesting follow up. Great movie though. Also, I love Hellboy 2 a lot. You say you don't like it?
I prefer the first one.
It depends. It depends on, do you like fantasy or you like Nazis?
I think the first one had a more solid story, and I think the second one was very like front heavy, and then the last act just sort of didn't make any sense to
me. Well, it's because the original movie is based on Mike Mignola's Seeds of Destruction and kind of the first few Hellboy novels, and then the second one was an original story penned by Guillermo del Toro, which about elves.
Right.
So it shows. It's very different, and they're never gonna make that third one, and that sucks.
I mean that window's. That window's closed.
So. It's not really closed, but it's closed. It's basically closed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Ron Perlman's really old, and it would cost too much. Because it would have to be the apocalypse in that movie.
Yeah.
And it's weird that Guillermo del Toro keeps giving. He gives a lot of money to make these big budget movies that never make money. So
that's So Hellboy was sort of a box office failure, huh?
I don't know. It was a box office like lukewarm reception, I think. And then Hellboy 2 was also the same. Like, I don't think they were like huge bombs, but they weren't successful.
Right. Yeah.
Pacific Rim was not very successful, but it was enough that in China to get a sequel. So we got that. Crimson Peak, I don't think was unsuccessful, but it wasn't successful either.
I can imagine that's not the kind of movie to have a sequel anyways.
Oh, it wouldn't have a sequel. I'm just trying to think of movies that he's made. Like, I think Pan's Labyrinth is probably his big hit, and probably Blade 2.
Blade 2, money-wise. Yeah, I bet that made a bunch of money.
Crimson Peak, so you didn't see Crimson Peak?
No, I
Crimson Peak, well, first of all, I would recommend it. It is not a horror movie. It's kind of a weird drama with ghosts in it. It's not about ghosts, it just has ghosts in it. And okay. It's kind of stabby. It's kind of really kind of stabby. It's kind of really stabby.
Okay, all right, stabby. Okay, and
I was a little surprised. Like, this is a real stabby movie. A lot of stabbing.
Wow. Well, you know, sometimes you gotta have knives. Anyways, Alex.
Yes.
I think we're good.
Okay.
Are you? What did you have?
No,
anything
no, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm.
It's just I think we've hit our mark.
Yeah, I think.
We still gotta fill out all this paperwork for the corporate office.
Not me. Taxes? Ha.
Listen, everybody, if you didn't know, we're not the only Filmtastic Voyage vessel. We're just the best.
What? Wait. Is there a Filmtastic Voyage cinematic universe that we don't know
about?
Well,
there's the FV Corps, right? It's like Starfleet.
Oh.
Yeah.
And we just happen to be the pilots. Is it like a bunch of clones? A bunch of Mike and Alex clones? Is it kind of like Prestige where you don't know which Mike and Alex you're talking to in any given episode?
No, dude. I mean...
And we all have top hats.
There's just another vessel where it's like you have a mustache and I'm bald or some shit.
Oh, well, yeah, it's like that Star Trek thing where everyone's got goatees.
Yeah, and another one where I'm like 600 pounds and you're like the size of my thumb or some shit.
Welcome to Filmtastic Voyage. that fat voice. It's hard to do. Anyways, no, this is the one and only Filmtastic Voyage.
Yeah.
Our spaceship is just like a Dyson sphere. It's like several ships.
That's right.
Tethered together via like our version of the Force. Not a ripoff.
Oh.
This crazy, crazy fiction that we've constructed has no rules and gets more complicated by the episode.
It does. But hey, thankfully so. I hope there's someone out there like assembling a wiki. A wiki film, where they're just assembling all the weird, stupid, random shit that we, you know, the lore that we're building.
It's like one of those puzzles where it's like A is like one more than C, but C is like two better than B. You know, one of those things. You
yeah.
Figure out like, well, so which one's D? It's like that's our the fucking fiction that we created.
Yeah.
Eventually, you can figure out something. But until then. If you want to reach us, you can reach us at filmtasticvoyage@gmail.com or even on our website, filmtasticvoyage.com. And, you know, you want to keep in touch with us, you know, follow us on the social medias where we have a Facebook page on the Facebook.
We do. Listen, we're on iTunes with the rest of the Let Me Listen podcast network. You can catch everything on our iTunes there. You can give us a rating. That would be awesome. Hey. Tell your friends about us. Do your friends love movies? I'm sure they do.
Yeah. Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
And if they don't tell them to listen to this show.
That's right.
You tell them to fuck off.
But, you know, feel free to leave comments. That goes for, I mean, our website, iTunes, our SoundCloud.
Yeah, you think Mike's opinions on Avatar are stupid? Just let him know.
Yeah, and equally, you think Alex's opinions on Avatar are equally stupid?
That's not possible.
Just kidding. But yeah, be honest. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. And until then, I mean, it'll have been passed, but I hope you had a lovely Valentine's Day. And, you know, you got lots of chocolates and cards and flowers and, you know, other cliches.
And you got laid.
Yep.
Because that's what Valentine's Day is. All right.
Also, gross chalky candy. Well, you know. Bye.
See you later. Mike Harding signing off.
Alex Keller.